B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins. The Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. We are live from Warrior Arena today. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe joins us now. Hi, Dan.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hi, Miss Zoe. Love you, Hardy, but Miss Zoe.
Do you?
No. Both things are true. Yeah. What's wrong? Is it legit or is it one of these things where he sends in pictures of the emergency room?
You know, he's sending in pictures from his living room today, not the emergency room.
You want to see the picture that he sent in?
I sent in a... Yes. Yeah, we can show you here. Uh-huh. That's him.
No, that's bogus.
There's Brody in the background, right? It's like you set it up.
Right.
Brody's laughing. I see Brody laughing. Yeah.
Some guy's dying.
And you got a plate there. You have
a little pasta.
What's he eating for breakfast there? I wonder what the breakfast is.
So I responded. I'm like, yeah, the kid looks fine, and you're well enough to be taking selfies. Shut up and let us freeze while we do the show.
Yeah.
You know, Hardy's been battling sickness all week, and I don't think any of us are at 100%, but we're battling through. We're battling through.
Hey, I was the one that stayed in Houston for 4 days.
You're back.
I heard you guys making fun of that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, why is it JetBlue's fault?
I am not habitually
like Breer now.
No. You go back over my Twitter, which would really bore you. I do not complain about stuff like that. It was extraordinary. And it was not weather. It was equipment.
Oh, really?
And our flight, and again,
14
wants to
times.
It was scheduled to leave Houston at 5 o'clock Monday. And they postponed it 16 times ultimately to the point where the next day's 5:05 flight, we sat and watched it take off.
That's the worst.
27 hours later. While we were still in delay.
So you should have just booked the Tuesday flight, is what you're saying.
Well,
you would have been home sooner.
But, you know, with the storm and everything, every time they canceled one, people fanned into the other one. So
When you say equipment, you mean like the plane was broken? They couldn't get a plane there.
No, the plane was broken, and then they couldn't get a plane there.
Because of the weather.
I don't know. They don't have a big base in Houston, JetBlue. I love JetBlue generally.
Yeah.
But this was bad. This was extraordinary. I mean, I've been doing this 40 years. 16 delays, and to see the flight you're on leave the next day while you're still there, that's a lot.
I love JetBlue, man.
No, they're great.
Big fan of them.
Yeah, wasn't
big fan of that airline.
Was not their finest hour.
Yeah, well, hey, stuff happens, Dan.
A lot of quality time in Houston.
Weather. I mean, those things happen, you know? It's when they treat you like garbage when it happens. And you're like, okay, I don't need this. You know, at least keep me in the loop. Let me know what's happening.
And then when they finally boarded, they just said, everybody on. It was like chaos. It was like the Who concert in Cincinnati.
Oh, boy.
There was no order. It was just like, okay, we're ready now.
Get on, quick.
They did. It was. We have 20 minutes at this gate.
Get on. Get in.
It was. So it was just chaos.
All right, Dan. Yeah. So you're back from Houston. You were at the game this weekend.
I was.
And I read your column today.
Yes.
You just seem to think everything will be fine.
Well, I think
that's sort of your
you know
your
how
thing.
I
that's
think.
Your thing. That's your thing, though.
I am reluctant to put my toe in the waters of it's over, and this is the end. I mean, they have the best record in football, and their history is that people fall down in front of them. Lamar Jackson will get hurt in the divisional round game the week before they're supposed to play him. I know how this works, so I'm reluctant to like step in and say, you know what? What I'm seeing out here, they're not one of the top five teams in the NFL. And that's what I'm seeing. And I think everybody who's honest would admit that. That's what we're seeing right now. Not a top five team in the NFL. And that generally doesn't get you the Super Bowl. But with the Patriots, there have been years... And they make you look stupid if you go there and say that. So I'm just, they are 10-2. We could have the Bills beat the Ravens, and then the Patriots, everything goes their way, and they're back in the top seed by Sunday night.
And then we're on
to Cincinnati.
And
literally.
Right. And I haven't, you know, taken it even that far, but the other night when it was on BST, I think it was on, they asked, who do you like in the Super Bowl coming out of the AFC? And I said, look, this is going to be you know, the biggest shortcut to thinking ever, but I got out of the predicting the demise of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots 5 years ago, almost exactly, right? Yeah. It was at around this time in 2014 when I'd written them off, and after that horrific loss in Kansas City, I thought they can't do it, and they've proven time and time again that they can get it done with less than favorable circumstances and missing personnel, and you name it. So, while it may not seem that way, I'm sorry, this is a rare case in sports where, you know, past performance is indicative of future gains, and I think they're going to get better, and I think they're going to figure it out. And if you're asking me to pick one team that's going to be standing at the end of it right now, I'll still go with the Pats. And it's tough to do based on, you know, the problems with the offense, but defensively they're good enough. And I've just seen it enough times, like you said, Dan. I've seen Tom Brady and the offense and McDaniels and even the receivers step up and figure it out enough times now to where I'm not willing to say it's going to be anyone other than them until somebody beats them and eliminates them from consideration.
It's not logical, but I understand you're saying. It is not what we're seeing. But
right.
I gave up on him in 2009 and 2010. You know, Ray Rice up the gut, up Route 1, and then the Jets beat him at home, and it's like, okay, this is it. You know, it was a nice 10 years, great, you know. Well, again, things just change, and I think it is over. I do. I truly do, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it, because if I do, they'll be in the Super Bowl. So it's just better not to do that. So it's like...
You think it's over?
Well, I just think... I mean, 20 years in, a 42-year-old quarterback, it's not a stretch to say, this is finally, you know, this is finally coming apart here.
Right. So
it has to happen.
All right.
He's 42.
All right. But I was going to ask you, and you've already answered my question for me. My question would have been, you do realize at some point you're going to get burned on this take of yours.
Well, I did that with my Houston take on Sunday. You know, I made fun of them one time too many, and I'll live with it.
Yes.
I was like, there's no way they can. You know.
This is right. But, that was Shaughnessy's payback for all the Houston Texans columns over the years, as they got him stuck in Houston for 2 days.
But I lived off that for a decade. You know, just ridicule, mockery, out the, you know.
And you even did it last week.
And it always paid off.
And then you got burned.
One time. And, you know, I knew that had to happen sooner or later.
Right. And by the way, I'm not suggesting it is going to happen with this Patriots team. Because, as we said the other day, on Monday after the game, we're talking about the game and everything that happened in it and what it might be a sign of and things that they're going to need to fix between now and the end of the season. And then we took a pause and said, but last December they lost to Pittsburgh and Miami.
Yep.
And they lost 5 times, and guess what they did? They went on the road, and they won on the road in Kansas City, something they hadn't done all year long. That win at Kansas City defied all logic.
They won the coin toss.
And everything the season had told us about them.
Yeah.
They won the game, they go on the road, they win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And so was how it went last year, and it could very well happen again.
Even think about that. They won the coin toss, which, you know, gave them the game, of course.
Yes.
And then, in the game prior to them, the better team didn't win the NFC Championship, and they got these dopes from L.A., a horrible quarterback and coach, who, like, weren't up to the moment, instead of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. That would have been a much harder. Everybody knows that. Things go their way. So until things don't go their way, I'm just, you know, and like I said, Lamar Jackson, you can bank on it. The week before, you know. Untold carnage, you know, to his hamstring or something. It'll just be, you know, it'll be like, oh my God. You know that's going to happen. And I don't wish that on anybody.
We've been saying for years. I like to put it is, it always comes up Patriots.
It's, you know,
it always does.
Sun Tzu, you know, stand by the river long enough, the bodies of your enemies will float by. And that's how the Patriots live.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We'll talk some Patriots here at the start of this hour. 617-779-0985. Also, your thoughts on LeBron James, the NBA tournament. Bruins are in the mix as well. We got a lot going on here today. Zolak and Bertrand, from Warrior.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dan, have you heard about the NBA tournament ideas?
Yeah, but wait. Before you do,
you got anything of that?
The heat is on. But Hardy, who is that?
Clem Fry.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Okay. Anyway,
what notes were you looking at?
Thought it was a birthday of an artist that was involved in that song.
Well, tell us who it is now.
I always think that is Loggins, Kenny Loggins.
Oh, Kenny Loggins. Okay.
So I'm very similar.
I always think it's him.
I wanted to be able to laugh at you and like, oh, no, it's Ronnie James Dio's birthday today.
Well, there was I would say that song sounds like a Kenny Loggins song.
Yeah, and Glenn Frey, of course, the late
like
Glenn Frey.
Footloose and all that. That was not Kenny Loggins, wasn't it?
Yeah. Great guy from Michigan, baseball fan, Glenn Frey. Loved him. Oh, wonderful guy.
We just talked about him yesterday.
Did you know him?
Yeah.
You knew Glenn Frey.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know everybody?
Well, just the old guys. My guys are all dead.
We were talking about Glenn Frey yesterday, so Hardy was just about to tell you.
Yeah, he sang backup on Bob Seger's Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
Yeah.
That's him in the background as like a young man. He was either a late teen or like a 20-year-old, and I think Seger wanted to take him out on tour, but he was like, Glenn Frey was too young.
What part of the state was he from?
I thought Glenn Frey was more like a western part of the state, like a Grand Rapids guy.
Yeah, maybe. He was a big Tiger guy and used to see at the ballpark. He loved baseball. Anyway, Beal, I interrupted you.
No, all good. The NBA tournament, midseason.
Ugh.
It's a terrible idea, but I appreciate that it's a wild idea they're considering. Yeah. I can give him credit for that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work, though. Andrew's in Peabody on that very topic. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you... What are your thoughts about having a prize for winning the NBA in-season tournament being that you get a bare minimum of a fourth seed in the conference? So that guarantees you a home playoff seed in the finals. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, so interesting idea. If you win the tournament, you're guaranteed. Well, here's the thing I wonder. Do you have to currently be... Are they going to include every team in the tournament? Or is it just going to be current playoff teams that are going to get in the tournament? And if you're going to award playoff spots, how do you award a fourth-round seed in one conference and not the other? Because then it's unfair to teams in that particular conference that someone won a tournament from their conference. See, I'd probably say you got to do it for both conferences, but whatever.
I would say, who could spend more than 1 second thinking about this? This topic.
Here's my bigger idea.
not against you, but just
bigger
the fact
question.
The fact that somebody called with a specific question about that issue.
Dan.
They've been really giving this a lot of thought.
Yeah. Fonder. Well, we've been talking about it a little bit today. Here's what I would say. Is a fourth seed going to get you to watch a tournament? Ooh, the winner could get a fourth seed. Like, what?
Oh, my God.
Dan, my idea for a tournament is end of the season, you take the eight worst teams that are all competing for the first pick, and you make them play each other. Whoever wins gets the pick.
Ooh, that's genius.
It sort of solves their tanking problem, where you can't be so bad that you lose to everybody.
Right.
You've got to be able to compete a little bit.
You would really have to
bottom third of the league.
You have to nuance that to, like, lose just
enough. We want
to
be bad, but we don't want to be the worst.
Right? That would be great.
And that's what will make the bottom teams more competitive.
You know, that's similar to Bob Ryan, who once said, for every guy that goes into the Hall of Fame, a guy should come out.
Oh, you know? I love that idea.
You know, so that's, that's good.
Oh,
you should, I like your idea.
Yeah.
Trademark that.
But you're right, there's that delicate line. It's like, well, we could make the real playoffs here, but we're going to be as an eight seed, and we're going to get absolutely smashed.
Who wants to be that guy?
The Lakers.
So let's not do that. Let's just be a middle-of-the-pack team that's good enough to be in the bottom eight by the end of the year.
Right. That would lead to some great late
season. Now, you know what it would be? And you know what else would be fun? Is like the ninth worst team and the tenth worst team would be sucking at the last week of the year, like just trying to blow games to get into the tournament. Like, we got to get into the tournament.
Yeah,
it's not like a college team trying to win that 21st game. It's a team that's trying to make sure we lose the next couple of nights to get in the tournament. It's great.
I'm writing that down, people. That's good. So good.
Put that in your notes.
Sometime.
Put that right in there. Kyle's in Charlton on the Patriots. Hi, Kyle.
What's up, boys? How are we doing?
Hey,
you got your new jacket on, Beetle?
Yeah.
Finally wear it?
Yes.
There you go. Hey, you're a new headline guy. Sounds like if Tom Brokaw and Jim Rome were to have a baby.
Mike O'Brien sounds like the love child of Tom Brokaw and Jim Rome.
All right. We'll review that.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, that's perfect. So Shaughnessy, do you think it's over because Brady's 42 now?
Well, okay, let's not exaggerate now. Don't hold me. I'm not writing that. It's just between us. We're just talking here. This is off the air. And, what I see.
You would say that if Zoe was there. He would call you up because. So, let me ask you. I'm sorry.
I'm really afraid of Zoe calling me up. That would be horrible.
is Brady the problem?
No. No.
Okay, so then how can you say it's over because he's 42 and he's getting old now?
Well, because
at some point he's just going to quit.
Yeah, it's not a not a good future. Yeah,
I think he's taking it literally.
Yeah, yeah. Pump the brakes on that a little bit. You know, I mean, you've got a 42-year-old quarterback, and there's a lot of problems with the team. He's experiencing NFL problems now that he has not encountered as much with the poor protection, the no receivers, stuff that a lot of guys go through routinely in their years in the NFL. And he has been really protected from that by and large. I mean, in 20 years you're going to have a little bit of everything, but the system that he plays within has minimized his weaknesses and maximized his strengths.
Do you think Brady's here next year?
I think he's either retired or here next year. The one I can't accept is he's a Charger, he's a Dolphin or something.
I'm with you on that.
That's the worst idea ever, and it'll end ugly if that happens.
And it was Paul Perillo who said this on Felger Maz a while back, and it raised a lot of eyebrows. He said out of all the scenarios, he put... whatever. I guess, you know, him stepping away being number one, retirement number one.
Yeah.
Him going to play for another team, number two. Ooh. And back with the Patriots at number three. And it was a thing for like a couple few days.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one that said it.
Right, but then
Adam Schefter had said it.
Right.
He said it.
I talked to Paul about it a couple of days later, and he's like, look, him retiring is like, you know, give it a percentage, like 90% he's done. And then whatever 2 and 3 are like, you know, you could flip him. It doesn't matter. He thinks the most probable outcome is that this is Brady's last.
That's
year.
A high number, though.
Well,
I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done. I don't think. And here's part of it, too. The way this season has gone, I think it's making it increasingly more difficult for him to even think about walking away. You think he wants to go out like this? Let's say even if they win the Super Bowl, right? Everyone likes to throw that out there. Oh, they win the Super Bowl. Even if they win the Super Bowl, what's sort of the description of the Patriots offense in Tom Brady's season in that final year?
It doesn't matter.
He didn't have it at the end. That's why he retired.
It doesn't matter.
You think he wants that?
That's not the narrative.
He's going to get that no matter what happens.
That's going to be the narrative, though.
It's going to be
He lucked out and won that Super Bowl, but at the end, that offense wasn't very good, and he knew it.
Okay, when we talk about Peyton Manning right now, do you talk about how he was just a game manager for the Broncos, or do you talk about Peyton Manning's career?
I think that you talk about Peyton Manning in his best years in Indianapolis because Peyton Manning is not first and foremost known for being a champion. He's just known for being really good. Yes, he won 2 Super Bowls, but he's not in Brady's class. For me personally, I just don't even put him in Brady's class. I don't.
I think
he didn't win at that level.
The narrative on Tom Brady, if he were to win or lose and walk away at the end of this year, it's not going to be he didn't have it. It's going to be he didn't have the weapons, and he was 42 years old, and he was done. And then after...
I mean, what's the narrative on the end of Peyton Manning's career? In terms of the end of his career, he fell apart. He couldn't play anymore. He was lucky to get the start in that last Super Bowl.
But he was good enough to manage the game and throw and complete a few passes, not turn the ball over, and do whatever he had to do to get the job done on defense. Nobody thinks that Peyton Manning was anywhere near the player he was. But Tom Brady, at least it's still a conversation. He might be that good. He just doesn't have the weapons. And whether he continues to play or he walks away after this year, the narrative on Brady is going to be a little bit about how they came up short or he didn't have a great season. But wait 5 minutes, and after that, you're just going to be talking about Tom Brady, the guy who won 6, maybe more Super Bowls, and is the greatest player at that position of all time. If you're reading the article on Tom Brady, this is the 12th paragraph. Second sentence.
Yeah, but there's so much more to Brady. There's so much more to him and what he wants to do when he is done. Peyton Manning is not telling anyone out there right now that he defeated time. Tom Brady will be doing that. He will. That's his next step. I defeated time. I beat time.
That's what he thinks the next step is.
Well, I'd be shocked if it isn't. Wouldn't you?
You'd be shocked if a bunch of stretchy band clinics weren't in business 5 years from now. You'd be shocked?
No, I'd be shocked if he's not doing that in the coming years, if he decides to go another way.
In addition to other things, look, nobody heard of TB12 3 years ago. It wasn't a thing.
Well, a whole hell of a lot of people have heard of it now, and that's his next plan.
Especially with every interview's done with that in the background.
So, this is, Hardy, what happens doesn't matter whether it's successful or not. In his mind, that's his next step, and and does he want to end on this note this season, regardless of how far they go in the playoffs, even if they win it all?
As long as
there's a perception that he has gotten worse among some, not all, because I don't think he's gotten worse. I think it's his offense has gotten worse, and I don't think he wants that.
No,
and I don't blame him.
Of course he wouldn't wish for it, but as long as the lack of success isn't due to him breaking down, I don't think it affects that one way or the other. It's the offense that's breaking
down. It's a performance clinic, man. It's all about performance. That's what they preach, you know, performing at a high level. I think it's more than just the age part.
No, you wouldn't say that of Zoe here. Can I out him for 1 second here now?
Who?
Zoe. Look at this. So when I was in the airport, you know, sending out the thing, the delays and all that, on December 3rd,
yes,
Zolak said, LOL, maybe you'll be lucky and miss that Warrior broadcast.
Huh. Yeah. There's a couple other things on the calendar, just business-wise.
Who's that, lucky now?
That make this sick day raise more than a few eyebrows. Yeah. It's a little suspicious. I don't want to get in the whole nuts and bolts of radio, but there's something to be said for this particular Thursday in the month of December.
Yeah.
It means something to certain people. All right? That's all.
When do we start playing Mitch Miller? That's what I want to know.
Right now, if you want.
Yeah.
We're out of the ratings
get
book.
Get that done before.
We should play Dan, even though it doesn't fit today. We should play him the Sounds of Sunday song.
Yes, Hardy created a song inspired by Mitch Miller.
Oh, good. Anger? A lot of anger in it?
There's a fair amount of anger. Okay.
All of that is on the way. Here's O'Brien, who is the child of who?
Jim Rome and Tom Brokaw.
They had a baby, and it's Mike O'Brien.
Yes.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mookie Betts, I think is his name. What's his future looking like right now in Boston?
Well, I mean, you're talking about, as you said, you know, one of the great players in the game. We are thrilled to have him, and you know, I know this organization prior to my arrival has been happy to have him. Now we have to figure out how we go forward. You know, I think where we are as an organization, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we're not exploring all of our options. But we do that recognizing, you know, we have a very good team and we have one of the best players in the game, and you know, we're going to handle the situation accordingly.
Then what's your top priority as you go into winter meetings?
I think just to continue a lot of the conversations that we've had so far, where we're trying to have a wide variety of conversations with other clubs to explore a lot of different options and just make sure that we are leaving no stone unturned in terms of looking at different ways that we can make sure we are set up as well as possible to compete every year far into the future.
That was Chaim Bloom, Red Sox baseball boss, on Nesson After Hours. That's new. I haven't seen that yet. You check that out, Hardy?
I caught
competition for the BSD.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it.
Yeah, okay. Is that your review?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it.
Much like I give the NBA credit.
And by the way, just to anybody, you know, maybe involved with the program, if they were to say, hey, do you watch Zolak and Bertrand on the Midday Show? If they say, I caught a little bit of it, I'm not going to be offended.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah. It's fine. it is what it is.
I just would say, much like I give the NBA credit for wild and crazy ideas, I'd like to give Nesson credit for trying to compete finally.
Yeah.
Putting on some live programs.
Yeah,
it's live, right? It's a live program?
Original content.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Because you sorely lack in that department. So, way to go. Way to step up. Way to add some programming.
Better
period.
Than Charlie Moore.
Yes.
You know?
Better than another infomercial.
Yeah.
Good. That's good. You're heading in the right direction. That's good for you, Tom Werner. Good for you. But they obviously, being owned by the Red Sox, they can get Chaim Bloom as a guest.
Yeah.
And he said he's leaving options open, I think was how he phrased it. You know, all options are on the table there, type of thing. Jeff Passan reported yesterday, Dan, or it may have been 2 days ago now, that the feeling among baseball executives across the league is that Betts isn't getting traded.
Yeah.
Do you believe that, number one? And is that good or bad in your mind? I think it's great, because the other part of that is to get under their 208, which they don't need to, but they will do anyway. And if we just accept that even if you're not accepting of it and you kill them for it and you're critical of them for it, accepting of that that's going to happen and they're wrong for it, but they're going to do that. Well, if you're going to do that, yeah, I much prefer they move on from Nathan Eovaldi and or David Price to try and keep Mookie Betts long term.
Yeah, it's a good topic, Beetle, right now. And I'm starting to... I wasn't there when they hired Haim. I was at the World Series. And, you know, seems like a really smart, you know, upcoming young guy. And he's got a hard job because more and more, this sounds to me like they're selling a bridge here. Whatever they want to call it, that's what they're doing. And I'm getting real tired of reading these stories where the words are creative and cost-efficient roster. You know, those are the new buzz things. Everything's
cash,
creative.
Cash conscious.
You know, creative. You know, and that tells me we're going to be Tampa Bay North here, you know, is what they're telling me.
Well, when you say creative, it means you're trying to make something out of nothing? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, in other words, you're not going to overpay for the fifth outfielder, for the fourth infielder, for the second catcher, that kind of thing. They're going to go cheap on that with, you know, no name, no dough guys. And then the payroll they're stuck with, they're going to trade some of it and keep some of it. The Betts thing, I know what you're saying. We all love him. He's a great player. And they're probably going to get dimes on the dollar now to trade him. But I wouldn't rule it out because I don't believe he's going to be here at the end after next season. So I'm not sure the value, you know, it's great to say, you know, get another good year out of it. If his last year here is a bridge year, what are we doing? And I am not in favor, I heard you yesterday, of trading Price and Benintendi in order to keep... No. I mean, Benintendi's still contract-friendly for them, and
I don't care about that. I care
you're
about
selling
who's
low on him now, though.
Who's the best player?
Well, obviously, Betts is a better player.
Right, so that's all that I care about.
But you're talking 1 year of Betts, or what was it, 3 years left to Benintendi? I mean, you know, you're selling low on Benintendi if you dump him now, because he's coming off a very flat year.
Yes, you are.
He has big upside, and I'm not going to sell low on that guy in order to keep a guy for 1 year of a bridge year. No, that's not strategy I'm interested in, and the whole thing is starting to bother me.
We tie those things together, but what that would actually be is that being able to move on from one of your bloated contracts that you don't want to have on your roster anymore.
I mean, they have to trade JBJ.
What if it was Sale? What if right now you could trade Sale away and dump that horrible mistake because it's happened and the cost has been intended to do it?
Wait a minute. I'm not following. You say that again.
All right, Chris Sale.
Yeah.
If you could trade him in his contract right now, but you had to give up Benintendi to do it, would you do it?
I'm not sure of that. You know,
or at least you're consistent.
I'm not convinced that Sale is going to be the bust that you are. We don't know. I mean, you know, we don't know. I mean, I thought he was going to be set for surgery after what happened in July and August, but they didn't. They're saying no to that, so there's some hope.
No,
they didn't have to do what they did. They did it, and now you have to hope you get something out of it because he's untradeable. He's untradeable.
Well, no. What if he's not untradeable? What if you make him untradeable again? Is my point.
He's untradeable. Come on. I mean,
I'm not sure that.
Oh, the money now. Price is now suddenly Price is a deal. Because it's like $117 million for 3 years with what's being, you know, it's going to be thrown
some
at
of the prices being thrown
Garrett
out around
Strasburg
right now.
And Price, I mean, you know, he didn't do a lot last year if he got hurt again, but I don't give up on him. He's still, I mean, he's a lot better than some of what's going to be spent on and what's out there. And, you know, none of us like him and all that stuff, but I'm not, you know, Price and Benintendi to keep 1 year of Betts, no thank you. Nope. And again, I'm just concerned about
that's
the whole...
because the way you think about it is that you think there's no shot that Betts stays.
Correct. I'm putting 10% on that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they could keep him.
That'd be great. You know, re-up him.
And this is not me saying you can't, you know, I don't want them to get rid of Betts, but I'm not crying about it like the people you wrote about in your column that you said, you know.
Oh, he's the best
thing. I'm calling him Ted Williams.
Best thing since Ted Williams. Another myth.
I mean, he's a great player.
He's the equal of Fred Lynn and Nomar Garciaparra.
He's probably the greatest player they've had come up through their system in a while.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Benintendi...
And I even admit that Bogarts may end up having a better career than him, but...
Could.
Yeah.
But doesn't getting and trading David Price, and not for Benintendi because it's team-friendly still, but doesn't that, if David Price is no longer here, doesn't that increase the chances of the possibility that you could sign Betts to long term?
I think that, you know, I think it's the triumvirate of Eovaldi, Sale, and Price. One of them probably has to go if they're going to sign Betts. That's probably a realistic thing. Eovaldi would be, you know, the first one you'd try to do there because he's, you know, it's $17 million over 4 years, 3 years left of it. He won one game last year. Somebody might bite on him still, in my view.
And I'm with you on Sale. I mean, as much evidence as there is to the contrary, he's not tradable, but I don't know that he's I don't know that he's not going to be able to contribute. The big thing would be, you know, he's cleared to throw right now. Okay, good. You can start throwing in February, and we'll do simulated spring training for you throughout April and May, and then you can start playing baseball maybe in June. And that way you will be available for the entire season and the postseason if you get there.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Dan, you're going to hang on for the hockey interview today.
Why not?
All right. Chris Wagner will be our guest. He will be by shortly. Hopefully we'll have him with us coming up next.
Excellent.
This is the home of the Bruins. The Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Who's got a beard that's long and white? Santa's got a beard that's long and white. Who comes around on a special night? Santa comes around on a special night.
Look at how happy this crap makes you, Dan Shaughnessy.
I do.
It's unbelievable.
I had to get the cassette, put it back in my...
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like the Fenway concert lineup. We'll get to that later. Chris Wagner of the Bruins is with us.
Who stands up big and tall? Who's got a carton of Pall Malls? Must be Santa.
Old days, man.
Yeah, the old days. Hey, congrats on the new contract.
Thank you.
It's great news.
Yeah, yeah, relieved to get it done, not worry about it all year. Obviously, I wanted to stay, and we made it work, so...
That's it's got to be a bit of a relief, but also, you know, now you decide, oh, I'm going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for you, being where you're from, it's got to be like a double relief. I don't have to think about a lot of stuff that other guys have to think about at this stage.
It's like, you know, you think about, you know, settling down, buying a house, and, you know, doing all that stuff. And then me personally, I've been on... A number of different teams have been up and down for, you know, as long as I've been pro, pretty much till the last couple of years. So it's pretty cool and special for me to just, you know, have a 3-year contract. I still can't really believe it.
Couldn't you have had your mandatory Sports Hub appearances stricken from the new clause?
Yeah.
Contract?
No, I wanted it.
Court mandated.
Build a brand.
He scored a goal after he sat down with us last time.
Yeah, that's exactly what I need right now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
That's like last year on TNR. We'll just start one this year.
Right.
A hot streak.
Yeah.
Zolak and Beetle hot streak.
That's right. You guys are on a hot streak enough. Now, I know you're not a huge fan of talking hockey. You'd rather get into the LeBron stuff. which we will do, but this team to me had a lot of excuses to have a little bit of an off start to the season, going deep, and it makes sense. You play a couple of weeks longer than, you know, practically everyone else, and then suffering that loss in Game 7. Instead, this team has come out and playing as good, if not better. So Beetle and I were talking at the beginning of the show today. Does that have anything to do with Game 7 being in the back of the mind of some of the guys in the room and trying to prove something, or do you just have to put all that behind you?
You have to put it behind you. If you think about it, I think it drives you nuts. We had meetings at the beginning of the year where we talked about just kind of flushing it. We talked about it internally and, you know, tried to move on, and I think we've done a great job. But it's more not Game 7, it's more the fact of how late we played. I think we just kept it rolling into, you know, October and November, now December. You know, we've got great goaltending too, so that always helps. You know, it kind of covers up some mistakes that, you know, we always talk about playing a 60-minute game, and, you know, we've done it, you know, occasionally, but I don't think we've done it enough, so we're kind of, I feel like we're the Patriots now. You know, we win, but you always look for, you know, something to do better and to improve on. I don't know if we've hit, you know, the peak of our game yet.
So on the flip side of that, playing long into the spring, deep into the spring last year, you're able to pick it up quickly because that offseason is really fast.
Oh,
that's it's a short offseason. Yeah. Is there the concern about it, you know, not being sustainable, this level of play and the wins that you guys have racked up to this point? I've heard some others mention that.
Yeah, you're going to peak too soon.
You're going to peak too soon. You're going to burn out.
But you can't. Well, why would you can't think of it like that? Yeah. You'd be like, oh yeah, let's throw this game tonight. You know,
let's go easy on this one.
No, it's a process, and we know that. And, you know, we did it last year too. I think we got hot in like February when we had like an 18-game point streak or something. But now we have, you know, two 7-game win streaks or 8-game win streaks. But yeah, it's all about building the game, and if we happen to win the games, that's awesome too. But it's, you know, it's more about the process for us.
You have to remind yourself not to be Tampa. I mean, because of what happened to them last year.
Yeah, they're a different team. They're not us. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's hockey. Anything can happen. Yeah, there's so much parity around the league too. There's really no nights off. The schedule right now we're in the middle of is pretty crazy too. So. You know, it's fun playing games, though. You're building your game, and, you know, you're correcting stuff, and then you try to bring it on the next night, and it keeps going. So
it seems like in your sport, too, when the playoffs start, it starts over, really, as opposed to the seedings in the other sports, football, basketball, that kind of holds for the first couple rounds.
Yeah, I was listening to that. Were they trying to do a tournament for the seventh?
Yeah. Oh, geez, that's a great idea.
Well, go ahead and answer, but I have a question about that, too, as it relates to hockey.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because especially now, I think... probably in the early 2000s and the 90s and 80s, the number one team was probably going to beat the number 18.
Yeah.
But now it's just you never really know. And, you know, some teams can flip a switch like Columbus did last year against Tampa. But, yeah, I think it's more the parity in the league more than, you know, the games you play in December and then thinking you're too good or something. You know, no team's really thinking that, I think, especially us, you know. We know the playoffs is a different animal.
Now, could you imagine, and you guys do, you know, step aside to go, you know, either Olympics or Worlds or whatever, but could you imagine the middle of the season, the NHL saying, now we're going to do a separate little tournament, guys, and, you know, they're going to be a little something in it for you, too, but really, this is just to keep engaged. How would it be trying to get up for something like that in the middle of a season?
Yeah, well... I've clearly never been on an Olympic team or any of those, so I can't speak for those guys. But I don't know. I don't think I can grasp that concept real well.
You can almost
nothing on the line.
Yeah,
right. I mean, internationally, you're playing with different guys, so it's like that's a whole different thing. But no, same guys you play with against the same teams you play with. Just a mini tournament inside the middle of the season.
Yeah, representing your country is a whole different story.
Right. There's a huge
and that is awesome and a privilege for those guys to do it. But yeah, playing, I don't understand that. That concept at all, really, playing the same teams. You're going to play them anyways. You play your division so many times, then you might end up playing them again. It's like, what are we actually playing for here?
It's a radical idea, though.
It is.
I give it credit for that.
Stupid idea.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is, but radical.
Yeah.
All right, what'd you make of LeBron's travel?
Look at this, by the way. There's another one. They found another one from March of 18 where he did the same thing. He took three steps in that one. Yeah, there's a new clip that is now surfaced.
Okay, so there are there are a couple of theories out there. Basically, it's either he knew he was doing it or he didn't. Do you think he knew he was doing it?
I don't know. I think he can probably get away with certain things, and I don't know if that goes through his head, but...
That's what I think.
Yeah, so... I probably don't think he's probably calling out a play. I mean, I'm gonna analyze this.
This is the old clip. They're
talking to someone, calling out a play, forgets to dribble. I played basketball as a eighth grader at St. Joe's on the B team, so I don't know a heck of a lot about playing.
But then he also claimed that he didn't even realize it until halftime. Like, come on. The fans are screaming at you. Like,
I mean, who is the defender on the new clip is literally standing in front of me, like looks at the ref.
There's a Lakers. Cavs Lakers game from March of 2018.
So is there an egregious violation of the rules that's taken place on the ice in a game that you've been a part of, or just one that you witnessed that would even compare to that?
No, because I think our game's going a lot more fast. So
only thing I can think of is like someone who is, you know, gets a puck out of the air and instead of dropping it down,
catches it, takes a couple strides. But they've focused on that now a lot more. The other one I could think of is a player or a goalie. I think it happened in the AHL during like a breakaway, a goalie just turning around and pushing the net off.
Oh.
And that's a penalty now, but it wasn't before. Manly. I don't know if that clip somewhere. It's pretty funny. A guy's on a full ice breakaway. The goalie just turns around and throws it. Back up. It's like, all right, it's a whistle in the D-zone.
Chris Wagner is with us. I thought the comp in football would be Brady going to the line and just waiting for the play clock to expire and waiting like 3 or 4 extra seconds to snap it. And they're just like, oh.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
On TV, though, that looks like that happens sometimes. It hits zeros, and then like a second and a half later, like, then he hikes the ball, and there's no delay of game penalty.
There's almost like there's a tiny bit of wiggle room in there. It's like, was it at zero? Kind of. But he snapped it real close to zero, so that's good enough.
They always make the claim that because they don't have tenths of a second on the clock in football, it's full seconds only, that it might say zero, but it's just only because it's under one full second.
Okay.
So you might have 9/10 of a second on the clock.
Okay.
But it's not down to zero.
All right.
Before. But do the refs have a stopwatch, or are they just doing the decimals in their head?
I don't know. I'm just telling you the way they claim it goes to be able to let guys snap it at zero and get away with it.
A couple goals early tonight, maybe, so we don't have to wait until the last 5 minutes of the third period for you guys to put one away.
Yeah, we make it interesting, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's keeping the crowd into it, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe just, you know...
You want to go to bed?
I'm not saying that I need to get more sleep than anyone else, but, you know, go out there and maybe score a couple early.
Yeah. Well, how about the home streak for the Boston sports team?
I wasn't going to bring that up. I can't believe you did.
I'm not a superstitious guy.
I asked Nomar about his hitting streak one time. I talked to Dominic DiMaggio, who has the Red Sox record, 34 games. I called Dominic, and Nomar was getting like 29 or something.
Yeah.
I said, oh, hey, Nomar, Dominic sends his best wishes. He's hoping you break it. And he didn't get a hit that night, of course. That was he blamed it on me. You know?
Nomar came in next day with the red duct tape and put it down around the locker.
So I had thought about the streak, and I wasn't going to introduce it because I didn't want to Nomar you on that. So thanks for bringing it up. But what is the number now? It's like... Patriots, Bruins, Celtics.
25.
No one's lost at home. This, you know,
no one's lost this season, right? No,
right.
Nobody. Yeah. Perfect. So
is that good?
Keep it going. All right.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah. Come on. Good. Blackhawks. You got it. That's
fine. All right, good Chris. Appreciate the time.
See you guys.
Thanks for coming by. That is Chris Wagner of the Boston Bruins. Bruins take on the Blackhawks tonight, and they got to keep that streak going. Home streak. Everybody wins. Headlines here. 90 seconds of commercials. We're back with the Noontime Hour. More with Dan Shaughnessy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.